The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Bick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome. It's another edition of the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Vick.
And we hope everyone's enjoying our beautiful city.
That's right.
It's nice in good and bad. It's pretty nice all the time.
I remember I had a boss here in town, and I decided I'd had enough of working with them. Not that the company was bad. But he was a San Diegan through and through. He had never really been anywhere. And I said I was going to put a backpack on, and I did, and I went around the globe. And about 4 or 5 years later, I came back. And he said, "You're back." And I said, "Yeah, I just went to say hello." And he goes, "I guess that's a good validation of what a great place San Diego is if you went right around the globe and you ended up back here again."
Yeah.
So no doubt. I mean, where do you get weather and climates like this?
Right, all year round. And people always talk about the wonderful weather, and then they'll come out in the summertime from some other part of the country, and
right.
The weather's nice, but it's not stellar.
Right.
It's when we get to December and January and February, right, where the rest of the country is freezing and digging out of snow, and it's 70 to 75 and sunny. And
don't jinx us, Jeff.
I know.
We just had the hottest winter in history last year. We're probably going the other way this year.
I'm knocking on wood as I'm saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
But, well, that's enough about the weather. Purpose of our show, we cover this all the time. We generally, we are doing everything we can to put our years of experience between us. We have about 50 years of experience in helping people, whether it's through investments, financial planning, everything kind of in between. And we see a lot of things out there that are really misleading in general. And we want to try to help people understand that you need to make decisions that are in your best interest because you know what your best interest is better than anyone else. And if you have enough information to make those decisions and make the right decision, the likelihood is you're going to make more sound decisions, which are going to help you in the long run.
Yeah, just educate you in a sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Just share our knowledge gained through years of experience. We're going to continue kind of the theme of what we covered last week. We talked a lot about the psychology behind investments and choosing investments and knowing when to get in, when to get out, and tried to cover how you need to understand that the experts that are giving their opinions, in many cases, one, don't have the credentials to qualify as an expert because they're just a journalist trying to come up with a news story to put out there because that's what they get paid to do. The other is the fact that many of these people that you could qualify as an expert are wrong. They've done enough research now. They're wrong roughly 85% of the time.
Correct. So, well, you know, and last week we talked a lot about psychology, and that all falls under the behavioral finance flag. And essentially, just to give a little bit of background on behavioral finance, when you had the modern portfolio theory, and this, I don't want to bore people out there, but I'll give a little bit of history.
Efficient market
that's
hypothesis.
That's right, exactly. And that fell under the modern portfolio theory, right? Where you had bell curves and, you know, this is where you should invest because this gives you the maximum return for the least amount of risk.
Right, or for the amount of risk you're willing to take, you should be compensated a certain amount.
Correct.
And if you're not achieving that, then you're not being efficient.
Right. So then all the portfolio managers out there tried to achieve alpha, which alpha meant, hey, we can give you a higher level of return for the same or lower amount of risk.
Right.
That was equated with an alpha value. Anyway, the long and short of it is all of this is very, it's based on rationality. And it's based on everyone sort of making the similar or the same decisions associated with a portfolio. The whole thing is put together with, if you want to achieve X return, you should have Y portfolio.
Right.
Why would you have anything else? You know, well, obviously over the years, they've come to realize that that's way too much of a philosophy created with the white coats in the university halls, right?
Right.
And that the world is a lot more of a messy place than that. And there really is no such thing as this actual efficient market hypothesis. It's great in textbooks, mm-hmm. but good luck trying to put it together in a portfolio. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
And so there's a move now towards what they're calling behavioral finance, which says the world is messy. We need to look at more of the behavior behind the movements and try and understand, maybe create a portfolio that doesn't mimic this thing that doesn't exist. Let's rather take what we have and look at the investor psychology to be able to create a portfolio that maybe it's not 60-40 bonds to stocks. Maybe it's, you know, 25% bonds, 15% stocks, and more real estate or something like that, because it's like, let's tailor it more towards the specific needs of the individual.
Right, and that's what we talk about, is every individual has their own unique goals in mind, and they have plans that they want to achieve, and that should dictate more of how you're creating your overall portfolio, which we've talked about in the past. Your portfolio is not just your stocks.
No.
It's everything. It's your cash. It's your real estate. It's your stocks. It's your collectibles.
Correct.
Everything out there. And you need to understand that is what that's how you want to make your decisions, based on what you're trying to accomplish, not what that textbook says.
Correct. And you know, you've brought in the next sort of behavioral finance topic, which is mental accounting. Because you look at mental accounting, and what that is, and everyone does it to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can afford that paddleboard, or I can afford to go out to dinner and spend $900 on dinner. No, I can afford to you know, go on a trip to Hawaii or whatever, because I've got a certain amount of money that's put into that pool over there in my brain, right?
Right.
And so I can go now because I saved up and put it onto one side. That's my slush fund or whatever. And then I've got, I can't afford to lose this $1,000 because, you know, this is my savings here. And then I've got this $5,000. It's all just money, right? It's all a portfolio. You've got to break down those barriers. You've got to look and say, this whole mental accounting thing is actually hurting you, because if you've got a certain amount just hidden under the couch, it's earning you nothing.
Right.
So you've got to take your portfolio as a whole. And yeah, I'm not saying don't go to Maui, you know, or don't go on your trip or whatever you want to do, but you can't account for it in that way. You either can afford to go to Maui or you can't.
You can plan for it and save money specifically for that. That is a goal you would be trying to achieve, but
yeah, but don't go to Maui if you've said, well, I've got the $5,000 here set aside for Maui so I can go. The fact that I haven't paid my mortgage last month, that's a different pot of money. That doesn't count.
No.
What a bunch of nonsense.
No,
you can't go to Maui anymore. Right. You know, that's the type of mental accounting I'm trying to talk about. And so, yeah, you can set aside money, but you can't set it aside mentally. It's all money. So if you've had a really good year, or you've made a lot of money and your returns were targeted were 8 and you made 15 and you want to bonus yourself a little bit, great. Go to Maui or go on a Caribbean cruise or something. Mm-hmm. But if your targeted rate of return is 8 and you got 2, you know, maybe you can't go.
Right.
Although there is a school of thought that says that you should set aside, you shouldn't, during the troughs, the highs and the lows, don't spend more money in the highs and less in the lows. Try and level it out a little bit. So when you've got the highs, don't go and blow it all, the excess. Put a bit aside so that when you hit the lows, you've got that little bit of a rainy day fund, right?
Yeah, that's one of the big parts of of creating just a financial plan in general is making sure you put the money aside just in case.
Correct.
First and foremost, before you worry about how your portfolio is going to get allocated into investments, make sure you've got yourself protected.
Yeah, I want to throw something out.
Sure.
I want to challenge our investors. Uh-oh. I want to challenge someone out there to call Dan or myself or both of us. We'll probably both show up. And if you think you've got a solid, put-together plan, you reckon you've got it handled, I want to challenge you. We can sit down, and I'm not saying we're going to point. I really hope we can't put point holes in your plan. But I'll tell you right now that if you have us sit down with you, and we'll do it for nothing, just out of interest and as a benefit to you.
Well, I think it'd be a great exercise for the other listeners to hear what gets found.
Yeah, and to see if you've missed things or what you're missing or if you hadn't thought of it. And I'll tell you right now that 99.9% of people out there do not have this plan in place. And
correct.
What they do have in place doesn't cover, definitely not all these behavioral finance topics that we're talking about,
correct.
As a start. And then there's thousands of other things. So it's just a challenge. If you contact us, we'll take on the challenge and see
sure.
if we can help you achieve something better.
Right, or just give you some insight into maybe something you're not thinking of.
Right.
I have encountered that numerous times with my website, Free Investment Audit, where I've sat down with people and they're expecting, oh, I'm going to just tear this apart. I look it over. They're low-cost investments. The money's well allocated for what they've told me. And I say, congratulations, this looks great. Keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
There's nothing to change.
Yeah.
And other ones where I look and go, you're just spending too much doing what you're doing, so you can do much better by making these changes.
Right.
And that's it. So I've seen the full range. So I wouldn't be surprised to see someone come in with a great plan. But
I hope so.
But I agree. I'd be willing to bet that there's a high degree of certainty that there would be at least one issue that you haven't thought of.
Make or break the whole portfolio.
Correct. When we come back, we will continue our discussion about behavioral finance and see if we can come up with another challenge for our listeners. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170.
Intelligent Talk, 1170, KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170, KCBQ.
Oh, welcome back. It is The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
Today, we're having some fun, throwing challenges out there. We're actually teeing it up, making it easy. We've set the tee up. Steve just put the great big softball right on top of that tee, making it easy.
Softball wouldn't go too far. I prefer a golf ball.
You foreigners.
Now I'm going to throw out the anchor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anchoring.
Okay. We are going to continue our discussion here regarding behavioral finance.
Well, that is the next one is anchoring.
Whys. Anchoring. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Anchoring.
So you're not talking about going fishing and
I know nothing about fishing.
Over.
You're the fisherman.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to be taught as it is, but maybe one day. So anchoring is when people say it's a classic example, like you should spend 1/3 of your salary on your mortgage payment, or 2.5 times your monthly salary should be spent on an engagement ring.
It sounds like you're talking about the rules of thumb.
That's about it.
Yes, okay.
Exactly right. The rules of thumb is another use of the word in behavioral finance. They call it anchoring. But you've got this useless rule of thumb that really, I mean, where did that come from? I mean, you know, it's like an inch. The measure an inch. That was the width of King Henry's thumb. That was how that number, and he just said, that's how long an inch is.
Okay.
That's how we got that weird number. Thank goodness I came from the metric system, much easier. But
because that does you a lot of good here.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. I showed up and I started working construction, and someone goes, that's 12 3/8. I'm like, 3/8? Who uses 3/8? My goodness.
Uh-huh.
But so anchoring, the problem with anchoring is this rule of thumb, more often than not, has no application to you. Yeah, it's a great generalization, you know, but it's got nothing to do with you and your ability to what you should do for your financial wherewithal.
And not to make another generalization on top of generalization, but it really, the rule of thumb is just a starting point to give you an idea, a ballpark of what you can expect you may need to save or invest in something. But it's different because everybody's situation is different. You have different goals. So you need to calculate these things based on what you're trying to accomplish, not just what the rule of thumb is.
Take the engagement ring one, right? 2.5 times your monthly salary.
Women came up with that rule of thumb.
Look, you're earning 10 grand a month. You have to spend $25,000 on an engagement ring? Mm. Have you lost your mind? You should rather go and put a down payment on a house.
Right.
I mean, come on. That's craziness, isn't it? I mean, this is where these rule of thumbs just get out of whack. You know, and seriously, I've seen some women with engagement.
You know what? I don't think it was the women that came up with it. I think it was the jewelry industry.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, and that's a lot of stuff that we've talked about just on that topic is sometimes you get these investment reports and that you've oftentimes got to wonder where it came and who paid for it, you know, because there's the people who are paying for it are going to, once again, skew the information towards what they want because that's
Absolutely.
Their behavioral finance benefit, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a benefit on all sides.
Correct.
Or actually, the person who's benefiting the most is probably causing the most impact in more of a negative tone to the people that are following that rule.
I'd take the drug industry as the worst.
Biggest offender?
Yeah. Well, maybe tobacco. I don't know. One of the two.
Yeah, well, I think they both fall into the same category.
Or oil. I mean, holy smokes. Actually, everyone.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then you're going to say alcohol. Then you're going to say, here we go.
Yeah.
With this, we're going to take a break and move into our mortgage minute here in just a moment. So just to recap, we will continue this talking about the behavioral finance and anchoring and rules of thumb and how they can apply and how they do apply. So here to join us today, we have a special guest with us. We have a Donald E. Coleman, the Director of Real Estate with USE Credit Union. Donald, how are you today?
I am doing outstanding. How are you?
Very good. Very good. You represent a credit union, which is a little bit different. I don't know that there's tons of our listeners that probably realize that credit unions do mortgage loans, or if, at least they've done a good job of staying out of the media. So that's good news. Can you give us an idea of some of the advantages to using a credit union? I know them, but it's better probably to hear coming straight from you why it makes sense for someone to go utilize a credit union for their mortgage needs.
Well, absolutely. The first thing is when you're dealing with a credit union, we're a not-for-profit organization and member-owned. So the first thing is we offer, in both cases, we offer better pricing and lower fees to any of our members or anyone that actually does a loan with the credit union. That's one of the biggest differences there. And kind of the difference of doing a loan with USC Credit Union as compared to most other lenders in the market, we offer three distinctive guarantees that we show up in the market with. Number one is we offer a same-day loan decision. So if you apply for a loan and give us enough information to complete a 1003 application by 3 o'clock, say Monday through Friday, we guarantee you that you'll get a decision before close of business that day, or you're going to get paid $250.
So the same day. So if I came in this afternoon and was able to say at 2:30 and was able to get all the paperwork filled out and hand it to you by 2:59, then you're saying by the end of the day I would have an answer as to whether or not I was approved?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
Hey, Donald, it's Steve Beck here. I have a question for you. And don't you have to be a member of the credit union to qualify for a loan?
No, you do not. And that's one of the differences is we're a state-chartered credit union. So if you live, work, or worship in San Diego County, you are open for membership. So we don't require you to become a member before applying for a loan. So what will happen is once you fund that loan with us, your membership will be open during that process. So we're one of the credit unions that don't require you to actually become a member before applying.
Okay, got it. And then, I mean, credit unions, as you say, they're nonprofit, but they rely on the returns get sent back to the actual members, which is why you guys can keep the note rates down, right?
That is correct. I mean, that's part of the whole credit union philosophy is we turn our earnings back over to our members. So we do it in a form of lower rates on autos, mortgages, and products, and then we offer higher rates on deposits.
And what about the down payment? Are there any good terms with that, or is it the normal 10 or 15% or 20% requirement?
Well, actually, there are a number of different products that are available. I mean, we have programs right now that are as low as 5% down. I personally am actually working on an FHA alternative loan that we're going to hold as a portfolio loan in-house to help first-time homebuyers that will have a minimum of a 3% down payment. That program is probably going to be launched somewhere in November that we're going to have ready to go for people to help homebuyers in San Diego County.
Well, you see, that's an important piece of information. So what you're saying is constantly, if you're looking for a loan, you need to basically keep in touch with the various experts in the field because things change all the time, don't they? There's programs offered and then taken away and then offered again later.
Oh, absolutely. You say that again one more time. It changes every day.
Yeah. So that's the flavor of the month right now is about a 3% down, is it?
That's correct, and that program should be live in October. So it's a unique portfolio product that we actually offer.
Okay, so people looking to get a loan, I mean, they can give you a call and line themselves up for this coming out in October. That's a great bit of information for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So what give out his details there.
Sure. Best number, your office number?
Sure, that would be fine, yes.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with Donald, his best number is his office number, 858-795-6155. Once again, that's 858-795-6155. Or if you want, if you don't have something handy, you could email either Steve or I at the show here, and we will put you directly in contact with Donald. It's great ability to find solutions for people, and to be honest, I prefer the credit union experience over any big bank 100% of the time.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a lot more personable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any other important tidbits you think we could be leaving out?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. We're loaded over here. That's okay. Kind of that's our market. And it's the second product that we offer. We offer a best price guarantee, so we kind of put our money where our mouth is. And we guarantee that we'll beat any lender's pricing, rate, and fee structure by at least $100. That's rate and then fees by $100. Or that borrower is going to get paid $750. And what's required is we just ask for a GFE that the same day and which the time that they're actually shopping with us, a GFE, and we guarantee that we'll beat that price. If we can't, we just require them to close the loan with the other lender and provide us with a copy of the HUD-1 and the notes, and then we write them a check for $750.
Hmm. There you go.
Sounds like you can't really lose in that deal.
No. And what about qualifying? Is it relatively easy in terms of income and that to qualify? It's on par with everything else, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. We underwrite our loans to the secondary market standards, the same as everyone else. And again, some of the benefits of that, because we can portfolio loans where the ability to repay limits may be at 43%, depending on the structure of the loan, we may have the ability to go above that. That's one of the beauties of a portfolioed loan, where we can do what is called that non-qualified mortgage, because we invest back into our members. That's the benefit right there.
Right. Now, that is a big benefit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And once again, this is Donald Coleman we're speaking with, who is the Director of Real Estate at USE Credit Union. If you want to reach him, you can call him directly, 858-795-6155. Or again, you can email the show here, Dan at theportfoliodoctors.com or Steve at theportfoliodoctors.com, and we will put you directly in contact with Donald. Donald, thank you very much. That's great, great information you're sharing with our listeners. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks
a lot.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. Thank you very much for listening. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
Between us, roughly 50 years of experience in the financial world, doing planning and investing and turnarounds and bankruptcies and everything in between. So we've seen just about everything out there, and see how it works, how one event impacts other events. And with that, we've kind of determined that we'd like to share as much info as we've gained over the last 50 years between us, to help you make the right decisions for your situation and allow you the best opportunity to accomplish your ultimate goals in life. So today we've been covering behavioral finance. We started last week with this and have slowly just continued along because there's so much information here that people really need to understand the hows and whys of the decisions they're making. And we're talking about anchoring. Are we done talking about being anchored?
Yeah, no, I think we've done with being anchored. We can move on to another one, which is the gambler's fallacy. The gambler's fallacy means that if it's been heads four times in a row, it's gotta be tails. So I can just push all the chips forward on the next.
I've got the best story here. When I was younger, fresh out of college, a group of guys and I got together. We flew to Las Vegas. No hotel, no nothing. We were just staying for the day. We were flying back the next morning. So we stayed up all night. First thing, go to casino. We're sitting there. And, of course, in about 20 minutes, I'd lost all the money I brought to spend. So I was done. So I've now got virtually 24 hours of nothing to do. So I take my last $20, and I'm sitting at the roulette table figuring, okay, I can spread this out and make it work. So I'm spreading money or spreading chips all around the table. And it comes up, and I was hitting little things here and there and just making my $20 go to $30 and back down to $15 and back to $30. But I was sitting there for a couple hours.
You get free drinks as well.
And so this guy comes up, and I don't know if it was a girlfriend or wife or whoever, standing right next to him, and he's standing there watching. And you know, on roulette, you can roughly get 50-50 chance of black or red.
Right.
So he's watching, and I think it hit red. I don't remember the color sequence, but it hit red like five times in a row. So here he goes, reaches in his pocket, pulls a $100 bill out, sets it on the table on black.
Oh, for sure. Gotta be.
Spin, red. And his significant other looks at him, kind of hits him on the shoulder like, "What? Why'd you do that?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, don't worry." Reaches in his pocket, pulls out $200.
Yeah.
Puts it back on, puts it on black. Spin, round, red.
Yeah.
Boom. At this point, she's starting to hit him.
Right.
Does it one more time.
400.
But I think he only put 200 out
again. Okay.
Red again. Lost. Oy. He walks off. I take my last remaining money, put it on black. Bang, black.
Right. That's exactly right.
My chances weren't any better, but I just, based on him walking off like that, I thought if there was a chance, the odds moved into my favor. There it was.
Correct. Yeah. I had a similar thing with the with the roulette. A mate of mine was betting. He just bet 27 the whole night. Never came up. And I'd done all right. I'd just be messing around. I'm not a big gambler. And I went over and said, how's it going? No, he's lost all the money he came with. And he's been back to the cash machine. And he's lost all of that. And he's done. So I go, oh, well, I'll just, you know, you're done. He goes, yes. So I put 10 bucks on 27. Of course, 27. He was so mad. And then I go to reach over to take the money, you know, and the guy spinning the wheel said, never remove a winning bet. So I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. 27 again.
Back to back.
Back to
back.
I made a gob of money, and I took it all off that time.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, I wanted to give him all of his losses back because he was just so gutted, but he wouldn't take it, of course. But, yeah, so the gambler's fallacy, if the stock's gone down two or three times or, you know, you've lost money on it, you know, it's got to go up next time, so you better buy more, right?
Right.
Wow, that leads to ruin fast.
The conversations I've had with people along that line is they just look and see, well, gee, it was trading at $65, so that means it's going to go back to 65 if it's down at 20 right now.
That's a buy.
Right. And again, this goes, what's your edge? What do you know about that company that means it's going to go back to 65?
Did Enron go back up?
No.
Or WorldCom. Or Wang Industries. Or
Netscape.
A bazillion other guys that we don't even have time to mention. Doesn't have to.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you think back to the good old days of when the markets came out. I mean, if you didn't own a railway stock, you were I mean, they were the internet stocks of their day, right? I mean, sure, railway lines are doing well again now that we're transporting all these goods across the country. But for a long time there, I mean, that was the last thing you'd ever touch was a railway stock.
Right.
You know, a lot of them went bankrupt because they got over-leveraged and things. Now you've got people like Warren Buffett that own them and they're doing great again. But, I mean, things come in and out of style. There's no reason that they're going to go back to where they were. Just that gambler's fallacy.
Correct. You know? And maybe you're right. Maybe it is going to go there.
Maybe.
But maybe, but like the example we talked about Qualcomm already.
How long?
Right. Is it 10 years from now before it's going to get back to where it was?
Right.
Because if it is, there's probably many other opportunities you can take advantage of where you can make money today.
Correct.
And then keep an eye on Qualcomm and see if it's starting to do something or if there's indications that it should grow significantly. And then look at allocating money.
I mean, you take the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that's just 30 stocks, right? And I think there's only one or two companies that are still in the Dow that have been there since the beginning of the Dow.
Right.
One is General Electric's, and I forget, maybe it's a GM, or I don't even know if they were in there before. But I know GE was the one that springs to mind. But the point I'm trying to make is those were supposedly the 30th biggest, most powerful companies in the country. And over the 100 years or so that the Dow's been out, there's only one company that hasn't been replaced.
Right.
So that just gives you an idea that this whole gambler's fallacy is something to really consider.
Well, would the other one fall in where I've talked to numerous people that say, oh, I've been watching this stock, and every time it gets around 20, it bounces up to 25. So I'm just going to buy it every time it hits 20, and then when it gets to 25, I'm going to sell, and it'll come back down. I'll do it over and over and over again.
Yep, that's another one.
Yeah, it works great right up until it doesn't.
That falls under confirmation or hindsight bias.
Okay.
So the confirmation is what you're talking about. It's like, aha, see, I told you. And the hindsight is the same thing. It's like, I knew it. I knew the market was going to crater. I should have just waited a little bit longer and I listened. I didn't, you know.
Yep.
That hindsight, I mean, you think of history and you think of the people that write history. They weren't in the trenches in World War One, but man alive, they can be their experts today to say what should have happened rather than what did happen. Well, you weren't there. So whatever you're writing is wrong because you weren't in the trench at the time. You're just making an educated guess from the luxury of your couch with a fireplace going, you didn't have your feet getting all moldy with trench rot, you know, and bullets whizzing over your heads. I mean, people don't understand that people that write about history really are just guessing. They aren't experts because they weren't there. And with time or the hindsight bias, it's real easy to go, oh, they should have done this.
Right.
Well, okay, if they had done that, wouldn't the enemy in this situation have done something different?
Mm-hmm.
If we did this, they wouldn't have done what they did, right? They would have done something different because for every action, there's a reaction. And so these historians, when they go and say, well, the reason that the war took so long or didn't close this time in such a, it wasn't shortened, was because of this and this and this. Well, they haven't looked at the reaction.
Right. And that's, we talk about this all the time. You can only make decisions based on the information you have at that time.
Correct.
And you can make the best decision you can based on that information, but unfortunately, things change, and sometimes that decision wasn't the right one because the information changed shortly after you made the decision.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a way around that. I did this when I was actively trading stocks, is that you need a logbook, and every time you buy a stock, you write down in that piece of paper what the reason was, why you bought it, at what price, and what your target is and what you're exiting at. And then when it doesn't work out right, and you go, well, I was such an idiot because I knew I sold it and I should have held on. You go and you read your notes and it reminds you of what was going on. It's like, okay, I won't beat myself up quite so badly because at the time that was about the best decision. Like, who would have known?
Right. And this kind of goes back to the gambling concept.
They linked.
How many times have you been standing next to the roulette table and you're standing there and you watch and go, okay, I just put $100 on red, and it comes up red, and go, oh, I knew it.
Correct.
How did you know?
You didn't know.
There's absolutely no knowledge. I've done it. Everyone I know has done it.
But let me tell you, it's easy to be say you knew it when your 100 wasn't there, and then you put the 100 out. It's not quite as easy because now you've got all of these irrational feelings that are starting to flow through your body because, my word, when that stick comes and takes your $100 away, it doesn't feel too good.
Right. It's a lot harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that stick a few times.
Yes. Anyone who's been to Vegas, they don't build billion-dollar casinos because they lose money.
Agreed.
It's an interesting place. Well, again, if anything we talk about is of interest to you, something, if it brings up a thought or a question you might have, we're here to answer the questions. Feel free to email us, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. We will shoot you an email back, get back to you as soon as we can, possibly and probably talk about the question on the air. We enjoy answering listeners' questions, and a lot of our shows are crafted based on questions we have received. So, we are here to help you. We want to be a resource that if you have any type of financial question or matter come up, we'd like to believe that we can help you make the right decision for yourself. Stick around. When we come back, we will finish up discussing behavioral finance and how it relates to making investment decisions and decisions in general. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
We want to thank you for listening. We are fresh off of the roulette table in Vegas.
No,
we've just been talking about how you can relate gambling and being next to a roulette table to some of the decision-making that goes on when it comes to investing.
Yeah.
And what's our next behavioral
finance? Well, we sort of were alluding to that as we went to the break in that, when you finally got your money out there, it's really easy to overreact to news. And people do it all the time. And they react to the most current news. So, you know, when the market's really volatile up and down, you know, people switch. Suddenly, there's a whole lot of people watching CNBC because they want to hear, you know, what happened? Why did the stock market go down? And then they react on that news, right? Because it's the most current news. They forget that they've got this whole plan in place. That's supposedly a 5 or a 10 or a 50-year plan.
Right.
And if you're trying to hand off stuff to your heirs, it could be a 200-year plan. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly you're reacting to this piece of information that really is just a blip on the radar screen. I mean, if you go back even to 1930, right? And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, the 1930 crash, that was when the Great Depression happened and all of that, and the stock market just got really decimated.
Right. What was the average return in the 30s?
Oh, yeah, I wrote like it down. It was minus six or something.
No, I think it was like negative 1.6 or something like that.
I have it. You know, he always catches me off guard with these things, but here I've got it. Minus 0.6. That was the average return for the worst period
in the market.
For the
30s.
Yeah. Correct.
And that was one of the worst times ever for the financial markets.
Correct. So if you had got caught up in that whole thing, which was hard not to do, you know, but the point I was trying to say is if you take that 100-year plan and you take 100 years of the stock market, right, and you look back at the 30s, you've printed out the whole 100 years, the big long line, and you look back at the 30s, it's this little blip.
Right.
It doesn't even register. But at the time, it was the most scary thing
I think
ever
this,
to
the same
happen.
Numbers in the 20th century, so the all 1900s all the way to 2000, the average return was, I believe, somewhere in the 10% neighborhood.
Yeah, just over 10%. If you held, I think you said, if you put $1,000 back in on the stock market in 1900, you would be $19 million today.
Right.
So the fact that you rode through the 30s and all these other weird and wonderful crashes, it didn't really matter if you just bought and hold. Now, the problem with that, of course, is, as you and I have discussed, is that's based on an index that I've just mentioned earlier ago.
Changes.
30 stocks back in the 1900s, and only one stock is left in that portfolio.
Right. But it is based on that index's overall return.
Correct.
Which was the S&P is what we're quoting here.
And but if you'd bought that 30 stocks back in 1900, a lot of the 29 of them aren't even here anymore.
I would have just bought the ETF.
It didn't even exist back then.
Right. But
yeah, now you've got a better shot at it. So if you buy the ETF like the Spider or the Dow or the Diamonds or whatever today, you could just buy it and hold for the next 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to live that long, but your kids or your grandkids will go, wow, thanks, Grandpa.
Right.
You know, because by then, assuming it does the same again as what it's done now, and you know, unless the world blows up, you know, I think we will still have a stock market and they will be investing in hover cars and, you know, flights to galaxies beyond our wildest imaginations. But you know, SpaceX will be the hot stock or something like that. But the point of the matter is that will be incorporated in the S&P 500.
Right.
You know? So to overreact is just a terrible thing to do. And you need to stick to your plan. And overreacting and is just, you know, it can decimate you because you're now selling at the lows and buying at the highs, which is just a typical investor's mentality.
Right. And that's why I hate to say it, but for lack of a better word, we kind of harp on that aspect is you need to make your decisions based on a plan. You want to have a game plan in place that if X happens, I do Y. Or
correct.
And be investing with a purpose and understand that, yes, maybe the markets are bad and you think you should get out, but if the facts are that this is the 100-year plan and this is money you intend to pass on, even if it's a 20- or 30-year plan, that's a long time horizon. So one bad year, although it can be detrimental to a portfolio, in the big picture, it's probably not as big of an issue as it seems when you're seeing this constant media hype of the end of the world, the sky is falling, and all these things that you
now
see.
Now, that also, though, brings up a good point. If you've got a 30-year time frame, which is a lot of people what they have, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in year 28,
right?
Wow, that 30% hit really is meaningful now because you're planning. You can't recover typically in a year or two.
Right.
So that's where a lot of the stuff gets a little bit fuzzy. Hence the reason they've created this behavioral finance because it's like, hey, things are not quite as crystal clear as modern portfolio theory is. It's way more messed up than that. And so in that situation, that's why you have these situations where if you're sticking to your plan, you're rolling out of some of those positions into things that maybe don't produce that type of return, but at least don't have the downside, which is brings us to the next one, which is prospect theory. And prospect theory, they've done a lot of analysis in this, and it's people look at upside way differently to downside risk. I mean, and it's so interesting because I've got two different portfolios I run. The one is a high risk, you know, go for the moon type investment. And that type of investor, all they want to see is how much money can you make me?
Right.
And how fast?
If the market's up a lot, I want to make more.
Tons. You know, I want 30, 40% return. And they don't really care about the risk to the downside. When you explain to them, hey, you give me 100 grand, it's either going to be worth 2 million in 5 years or zero. All they think about is 2 million.
Right.
They forget about the zero until the zero shows up, and then they're not terribly happy, but you have to remind them. And then the other portfolio is a very low-risk portfolio, and those investors who are giving you the money to invest cannot afford to lose that money.
Right.
Now, all they're thinking about is downside. They really couldn't care less about the upside, but man alive, you better protect my downside. This money's got to come back.
Well, this brings up a point we should discuss. We've mentioned this before, but the magnitude of a significant drop is so much more impactful than taking advantage of every good year.
Right.
And just the simplest example, it's hard to explain on the air, but if I were to say, give me all your money, in 3 years you'll have two possible outcomes. One would be you would average 4% per year. The other one would be you would average 33% per year. Which one would you rather have? 100% of the people are going to say, well, the 33% for sure. But the reality is I can show you a case where averaging 4% would do much, much better than that 33%.
Sure.
And it's because of the magnitude of one very significant down year where you lose 98% of the money.
Right.
In 1 year, you could literally, you make 100% the first year, lose 98%, lose 100%, or make 100% the next year. You now have, if you invested $100,000, you have $8,000 left.
Right. But you've got a 33% return.
Right. You average 33%, where if you got 4%, even if you got 3, 4, and then 5, and it averaged 4, you've got $113,000, $115,000. You're much, much better off.
Yeah. You know, the average investor, and if you look at the stock market as well, over the last decade or so, the average return's been 1% or 2%. And the average investor only gets 1% or 2% return on their money if you take a portfolio as a whole. And that's why when people have got to understand, they've got to change their mindset and realize that a solid 4% or 5% return on your money with zero volatility and it's just locked in and it just prints money every single month, month in, month out. I mean, that's a very, very powerful tool. But people somehow get turned off. Oh, it's only 4% or only 5%. Well, that's actually double or triple what you normally get.
Right.
And yet people don't understand. They've got to change their whole mindset. And really, that's where the problem is. Take your whole portfolio. Don't just take the one stock that made 30% last year. Take the whole portfolio. And once you actually get it, you add it all up, you'll be surprised at just how low those overall returns are.
Right. And that's what we've talked about from the beginning is counting what your cash doing. If you do have that slush fund where you've got, according to the rule of thumb, 6 months or 9 months or even a year's worth of expenses just sitting in this account.
Doing nothing.
It, right now, if it's just in a money market account or at a bank CD, you're getting a fraction of a percent.
Right.
That's virtually doing nothing for your portfolio.
That's about an anchor.
That's part of your portfolio. You're not losing money.
Right.
In the straight sense, you are losing it based on inflation and things like that. But your money's still there.
But it's an anchor on your portfolio.
It's absolutely a drag on everything else. So now you have to take much more risk on the other side to try to offset the fact that you're not making a penny off of this slush fund that you've got sitting on the side.
Right. That sums it up.
There.
I think I'm done.
That's it. We've still got another minute or two. Well, that can just about do it for us today. This is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. Again, if you want any advice, we're here. Or if you just have a question that comes up regarding any type of financial matter, even if it's related to a mortgage, real estate, an investment.
Diamonds.
If there's an individual stock that you're looking at and you'd just like another opinion, We'll do that for you. We'll take a look at it and give you an idea of what we think. A lot of that we can't give an opinion over the air.
Correct.
Because of regulations. We can't just say, oh, you want to know about Apple? Yes, it's an absolute buy. We can't say that because we don't know anything about you and your unique situation.
Right.
But we could ask some questions.
But that's just
So feel free to email us with any questions, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. We are also available on iTunes. All of our shows are podcast there. Just search for The Portfolio Doctors. If you don't have an iTunes account, you can access on theportfoliodoctors.com. You can access, we have them all archived there as well. And there's a lot of other information on our site. So feel free to reach out. We're here listening to you, listening to us. So thanks again for listening. Get out there. Enjoy the rest of the day.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.